For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
We have about 200 different dialects and languages. We hardly understand each other. My gosh, when a string band from any part of the country plays, everybody else is listening, and we really enjoy it. And that tradition continues now, except that there's more attachment now to electronic instrumentation. It's a little bit different, but the intention is still the same.
If you step off the plane anywhere in the Pacific, chances are you'll be welcomed by an enthusiastic string band. Bouncy guitars and harmonious vocals is a classic sound of the islands. From Vanuatu to Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands to Samoa, you'll hear that familiar rhythm, those rich vocal harmonies, and see the instruments sometimes made from whatever we could find. But it works. And it's a sound that's instantly nostalgic, unmistakably Pacific, and deeply rooted in place. But while these bands might feel traditional, they're actually born from something more recent. When US troops arrived on our shores during World War II, they brought with them foreign instruments and musical influences. What followed was a wave of creativity. We took what was introduced and made it our own. The result? A grassroots musical movement that exploded across the region. So, where does the string band sit now? As new genres and technologies take hold, is the sound of the string band under threat? Or is it simply evolving? I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and this is Culture Compass, an exploration of survival, revival, and connection throughout the Pacific. At the forefront of the string band movement in Papua New Guinea is Sir George Telik Mamoa. His long career started as a frontman of his village's group, Moab String Band, then Painim Wok. In 1989, he introduced his country's music to international audiences when he collaborated with Australian band Not Drowning Waving on the phenomenal album Tabaran. Sir George is a legend on the world stage and one of his country's most iconic musicians. But it all started back in his village of Rabaul in Papua New Guinea's East New Britain province.
Growing up at that time when I was like a young boy, walking around the village with all my cousins and brothers, but he had these elders that, you know, had been playing guitar string bands already. So we were just like listening to them and, you know, keep following them around in the village. We were looking at my elder brothers that we used to play on a string band called the original Moab String Band, which is later that we continue on with the Moab String Band. You know, I was so excited, like, well, I want to be like this. I want to learn how to play ukulele, a guitar, and also singing. But at the time, it was so interested to be like them. And so we kept on listening to them performing all the time in the village.
I remember as a child, my favorite was to listen to the bass, which was just a piece of fishing string tied to a stick and it is sat on the bucket, you know? Did you have that?
Yeah, yes. I remember that also.
And I wonder if you felt the same way, but to us it was a sense of pride that we were able to make an instrument and actually play it like this.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Papua New Guinea style? Why does it make it so special?
Because we have this tune and the melody and the songs that we write is really unique and different. We have these four different vocal in it. We have the low one and the middle and the high one. So it's made it very beautiful with these backup harmonies and the main vocal. So it's very, very beautiful.
There are over 800 languages across Papua New Guinea. Do you feel string band music is a way of connecting everybody and speaking when you can't always understand the language?
Exactly, because we speak a common language to communicate, like talk pidgin, like it's a broken English. So the string band music, it's all around Papua New Guinea. Different style of music, different style of beat, but we still have one understanding. Every village across in Rabaul or in East Lubutin province have their own string band. They have different style of tune that they make it up. Like we have the Sunset Key, the Golden Dry Boys Key, and the Hawaiian Key, and all this. So it's popular all around the Gazelle Peninsula in East Lubutin.
What do you usually sing about in your songs? Are they stories of village life or about your ancestors?
Yes, well, sometimes we adopt the cultural music, the traditional stories from before, but sometimes we rewrite our own songs and we sing about life, or men going fishing, maybe a little bit of love.
Sir George, you've been involved in shaping the sound of Papua New Guinean string bands through your bands like Moab and Painimwok. You also helped get the sounds of Papua New Guinea to the international stage when you collaborated with Australian band Not Drowning Waving. What did that mean for you?
It means a lot to me to take out the PNG music out to the international market and to people know about my village, my country, and my music, and to promote it to the outside world. So it means a lot to me. I'm really proud of it.
And now with the rise of digital and electronic music, do you think younger generations will continue to play string band?
I think so, because we have to talk to them and tell them to keep our traditional music here and not to change it a lot. Because we'll talk to them. I've been talking to some of the young musicians to keep our string band music here. They have to learn and know the style of our music, because it's very important to identity and identify us that we are from this province and we have to perform and write songs in our own language. So they have to know this string band were from which province in Papua New Guinea.
On the streets of Honiara, people enjoy their string band music very loud and very proud. Ashley Wickham says it's a sound that would always bring people together. With over 200 dialects spoken across Solomon Islands, not everyone can understand each other, but everyone understands string band music. Ashley's the former head of Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, or SIBC. He's seen how the sounds have evolved over the years, but now new sounds and digital tools are changing the game.
By the time of our independence, in 1978, most villages will have had a bamboo band or a panpipe band or just a string band in their community and kept the young people happy, enabled a lot of expression of what people felt like talking or singing about. World War II, which hit us pretty badly, but it allowed new influences to emerge in, for example, a lot of the soldiers who came here, they brought their instruments too. So my uncles, who are long gone now, learned to play banjo as well as guitars, ukulele, and they had very active string bands going in the 1940s and 50s. And that tradition continues now, except that there's more attachment now to electronic instrumentation. So the original traditional string band has given away to the use of the electronic stuff. It's a little bit different, but the intention is still the same. We have about 200 different dialects and languages. We hardly understand each other. My gosh, when a string band from any part of the country plays, everybody else is listening, and we really enjoy it.
Is there anything you think our listeners would be surprised to know about these instruments being introduced to Solomon Islands?
Yes, we had a steel guitar being played in the West straight after World War II, introduced by American forces. And I remember as a young man hearing the string bands singing, including the Hawaiian songs with their particular cadence and special appeal. So string band has been with us a long time.
And in the Solomons, you've made these instruments uniquely your own. Can you describe what instruments usually make up your string bands?
In recent years, the keyboard has come into play. But when I was a young fellow growing up in the 60s, 70s, it was mainly guitars and ukulele. And in some places, augmented by bamboo. In other parts of the country, like Malaita, Guadalcanal, and Makira, they use the panpipes. Some of the most adventurous in recent years have come from the island of Isabel in the Central Solomons, and they produce some crossover artists, people who start as string bands and go on to become performers and even travel to Fiji, to the Marshall Islands, for example, to Nauru, performing their music.
And I understand that a lot of these string bands make their own instruments.
Oh, yeah. Those homemade things now are a bit of our past. People now find it very easy now to buy a bass guitar, have an amplifier, so we don't need to revert to the old T-box. In the old days, T used to be transported around by traders in huge boxes, roughly a meter square. And when they were emptied, they become very good drums. Put a string through them at the top, tie them to a piece of wood, and they'll play as you do with drums. But people now, for some time now, have been making ukuleles. Guitars are pretty common now. We can buy them in the shops. As a young fellow in my, 10, 12 years old, I used to follow all the string bands around Bunda. And I learned all their songs. I still remember their songs now. And a lot of my relatives were involved. We even sent a group to the official opening of the Sydney Opera House.
Wow.
You remember the Voyager series of rockets that were sent out to outer space in the 60s, 70s? We have some of our recordings are in that Voyager, which I believe is still moving in the outer fringes of space right now.
Oh, that's so amazing to have it all the way out in space. When you're watching string band music, what kind of emotions come up for you and how does it make you feel?
It's nostalgia for home because most people in Honiara, we come from different parts of the country. And when we see and hear the string band, we can almost visualize that band in their natural environment. And because of our language differences, we enjoy hearing the different languages and different ways they construct their songs. And sometimes it gives us a laugh. Sometimes the words that are used in one dialect is a bit risque in another, but yeah, you sort of smile that away. Yeah, and in recent years, a lot more females are beginning to take to the string bands. And I think it's going to be a very welcome addition for our tourism industry. When people gather around to sing as community groups as a string band, they cut loose. They don't sing in low volume. They belt it out. They hear it 100%. And everybody enjoys it that way. And I don't think that will change because that's what characterizes it, what makes it very interesting and enjoyable.
Yeah, I have been lucky enough. I've been privileged to hear the sounds of the Solomon Islands string bands. But how can you describe it? How is it different to other countries across the Pacific?
You know, it's really interesting. I've traveled most of the Pacific and listened to a lot of the music that's around. I can say that we cannot compare different Pacific islands because of the history, colonial background, and other events over the years. It's same too with the music. The music we all make has commonalities, but they don't influence each other too much. a lot of the musicians can sing and play in almost any style of the Pacific, including some of the most vigorous ukulele playing that you usually hear from Cook Islands and Tahiti. We have players who can do the same here too, but you just don't hear them too often.
Has the string band sound and its popularity changed much over the years?
Oh, yes, the technology changes the string band sound. The steel guitar that elders used to play in the 1950s had no amplification. Now you can get a lap steel guitar and it'll have an amplifier with it so you can play it as loud as possible. There are other string bands from the different parts of the country. For example, in Malaita, there is a band in the Korai area, the language area, which is the biggest language or dialect in the country. They sing about a village called Lalaita, and that is a story about how Lalaita has become depopulated by young people moving away to the bright lights of Aoki, the provincial capital, and to Honiara, the national capital. I wouldn't have been able to explain this to you about this song Lalaita had it not, of course, kind person from the language area who translated it for us once on Facebook. So, see, the technology is helping us even more.
You know, recently the Solomon Islands Broadcasting brought in a program called Swing to the Strings, encouraging young people to revive and play the string bands. Can you tell me about that?
That is a continuation of what used to happen in the 50s. So I revived it during my time there at SIBC, and only about, 10, 15 years ago. It had died away in our rush to independence, but when we reintroduced it, everybody was hooked all over again.
Are the younger generation adapting string music at all, like meddling it with electronic music?
Oh, yeah, a lot of the groups these days have electronic music. We have a lot of good bands now. You know, without the string bands and the availability of musical equipment in the villages, we would have very boring places. What's making it more boring is the influence. The one that has really, I think, impacted a lot of our musicians is the advent of the mobile phone, cell phone. You find groups of people sitting around with their guitars, and more than half of them will be looking at their phone, sending texts or reading some program, listening to something or other, and only joining when the favorite songs come up. So the mobile phone has really altered a lot of things in society. Where we used to hear a lot more local music, these are now minimized, and so... But the only saving grace is that you can send your music on your, or record it on your phone and send it to your friend on the other side of the world.
How important do you feel it is to preserve the style in the future?
I think it's very important to preserve this because this is the community, the voice of the community and the things important in the community. And I think there will always be a need. Like I said, we have nearly 1,000 islands. We have nearly 200 different languages and dialects. And we need to be able to hear each other. We don't know each other's languages, or not so many. But if we can hear the songs and music, we can feel the warmth that comes with it. It's so engaging. It's almost emotional when you can hear a string band from another part of the country that you hardly understand what they're singing about, but you're feeling good because it's another bunch of Wontoks singing for national consumption.
Vanuatu is known for its rich and diverse sound. Each of their 83 islands brings its own musical flavor. At the height of the string band explosion in the 1970s, Vanuatu held its first string band competition. Taking out the top prize was a family band called Makura Tokolau, from the small island of Makura in Vanuatu's Shefa province. They sang songs of Vanuatu's independence, messages their leader, George Pakoa Fury, was inspired to write from Bob Marley. Now, Years later, George's son Sam is continuing the family tradition. He's the one composing and writing songs for the Legacy Band. But he says with the rise of digital disruption and AI technology, string bands need to get back to their community roots.
The songs that I'm composing is I'm positioning the legacy of my father, the legacy of Makula Tokelau, and the people of the Shepherd Islands, as being called the Shepherd's people, as a beacon of hope, but one that is got the compass for showing, for pointing the compass to the territory of where the work for this freedom that we struggle for and we fight for, we sing for in every 30 July, for every 30 July year round, which is Independence Day. We are the proudest people to go up on stage with these strings of instruments. We sing about our independence. You can see all our mothers are very happy. They sew these beautiful island dresses and they weave these traditional local baskets nicely. And everyone walks with an ownership knowing that, yes, we own our place. We own our existence here as a state of itself. But the Makura Tokelau for us is, I'm putting it in a beacon of light that will always shine to say we must always remember that walk and we must always walk that walk for the promise for the people of Vanuatu, so that Vanuatu can be that promise to the other neighboring islands as well in the Pacific region and beyond. I wrote this song the day I went down to the city. The city was empty. I can only see birds flying. I see cats and dogs walking around and no one in the city. And I burst into tears. And then I was standing there and I said, okay, this afternoon before the sunset, I'm going to sing a song about this. And I wrote a song about this, and it's saying, this song, if you listen to, is giving the beauty and the simplicity of the fashion life that is missing right now in our city. And that is, we miss the sunset. We don't see the sunset again because the street is booked. There is no more music in the seafront. And when I say music, it's a group of people sitting around, island lifestyle, just chatting away, enjoying and laughing and making melody of itself. You can't see that now. There is no more friendly discussions that is peaceful and that constant sound that in reality, if this current time that I'm talking to you now,
yeah,
if there was no earthquake, if we go to that market house, you can hear the constant sound of harmonizing that is still on from end to end. But for now, if you go there now, that sound is not there.
Why do you think that singing has gone away?
For me, the only answer I can give to you that the sounds of the purity of the life of music that is the life of the people is simply because we're deflecting. We are going away from what the model of our nation stands upon.
Yeah.
Our motto is Longhotu Mistala, which is in God we stand. But I think we've deflected, the nation as a whole has deflected out from that canvas.
Yeah.
And of course, the main, one of the big play in that is the influence of the technology that has come in.
Mm.
It steals the life of the people in the form that, for me, I know very well. Those days that the independence traveled through a radio, which my father was part of singing. In these days, the influencer uses the Android phone more to take the time of people and steal their time. And therefore, you don't longer hear a lot of these music anymore. You don't see people singing anymore because they can go to their own wall and just enjoy themselves inside that rectangular box, which is a mobile phone.
As we speak of the younger generation, I'm interested to know, are younger people interested in joining your group and getting involved with string band music?
100% yes. That's one thing that I'm so excited about. My two sons, they're highly interested now. They're eager to want to be part of the band. The string band, even though this music is coming up, you know, the influence of outside influence, but the locals in the islands especially, they just love string band. String band is alive. String band music is alive for us. The Shepherd people, for us, string band is alive. Every afternoon, just one guitar and we all start to sing. This is in the islands, but not in the city.
As technology advances everywhere in the world, it affects our music. Are you seeing that for string band music in Vanuatu as well?
Yes, there was an AI music string band that was just put out. I didn't even want to listen to. I only had the other artists coming in and say, hey, now this thing can do all these wonders and all these things that we are trying hard to make, you know, to compose, to play and to sing. And yeah, it's already happening here for string band music because they confirmed that there's already one putting out using AI or I don't know what kind of app, but is already producing string band music in it.
It's already happening. Gosh, how do you think those kinds of progressions will affect the future of string band music?
For our band, Makura Tokolau, and for all people of the Shepherd group, we will always play the original as we are. But for other people outside, pretty sure that the speed of that influence will crack them and will actually dominate. Because we sing and we play string band as a beacon of light for our message that is positive for our group, for our ownership, and for our pride. But for some artists and some people, it will only be for a means of the power to sell, protect and sell money. So, of course, they will always run for the easy way to produce the music.
Are you seeing any of them try to mix the two types of music together, like electronic music and the more traditional string band music?
Oh, it's already happening. Yes.
Do they pay homage to their string band roots?
No. The legislation here is being, we don't actually have those laws in place that is already there, but implementation of it is not really what the individual artists and artists are banned. It's just not been made aware of it completely, that they know what to stand for and make sure that the royalty of someone using a song from another band or using a local or a band name from this one and mixing it with this one is actually being something that the royalty is shared to the band name, the band as well.
Are there many other bands around Vanuatu that are promoting the string band sound?
Yes. In fact, all 83 islands, I would say 95% of them, they all have string band and they all play string band. But it's just a platform that is not yet in place, and it's something that I already identified, and I'll try to find a way to find assistance to come in that to make sure that we set up a hub that looks after all the string band so that we can keep this music alive.
Yeah.
Because it's very difficult as the cost of recording is very high. Copyright law is something that is not well protected. It's passed in Parliament, the laws is there, but it's not being implemented in full force. Therefore, it ruins the younger ones that are trying to produce an album, because as soon as they produce the album, they launch, and then that song, only one person pay from it, and then they sell it all to the other ones. And so the return is very less, and it just kills them to go back to studio again to do another album.
How important do you feel it is to preserve the style in the future?
Very, very highly important to protect the string band music, because this is the only voice and this is the only beats that send out the waves, the trumpet sound for resilience before independence and after independence, and even to this 2025 that we are here today. It is our identity already, it is our legacy, and it is our only strong tool that holds the people together.
String bands have always been more than music. They're a way of bringing us together across islands, languages, and generations. Technology might be changing how we play, record, and share our sounds, but the essence of string band remains rooted in community. So, as our sound continues to evolve in the future, the challenge is holding on to what makes it distinctly ours. This is Culture Compass on ABC Radio Australia. Culture Compass is hosted by me, Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki. Our ABC Radio Australia executive producer is Faliangafulu Inga Stunsta. From Deadset Studios, our producer is Lucy McAfee. And our supervising producer is Gia Moylan. Sound design is by Nick McCorriston. This episode was produced on the lands of the Turrbal and Jagera people. We pay respect to their elders past and present.